John chapter 15. We're going to read verses 14 through 17. And I'm going to read verse 14 and then you read verse 15 with me. And John chapter 15 and verse number 14. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I have commanded you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Lord, I pray that please you would help us tonight. And Lord, thank you for this truth. Please speak to our hearts. And Lord, you're the reason for it all. And we love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 15, you have the fruit-bearing chapter. If there was a whole chapter in the Bible, you know, the resurrection chapter is 1 Corinthians 15. We took a glance at it this morning. There are chapters with themes, but in John 15, you have the fruit-bearing chapter. And so when you look at verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Well, as long as you define fruit the right way, an apple tree bears apples, an orange tree bears oranges, and a Christian is supposed to bear Christians. That's why our job is making disciples. And God says Jesus is going to teach a whole chapter here on bearing fruit. And he says here, if any branch that doesn't bear fruit, he's taken away. And it says, every branch that beareth fruit, he, God, purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. God's plan for our life is that we go soul winning. I don't know how, I've heard people interpret this because they don't like the pressure of soul winning, and so they'll say, well, that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and you know that. No, that's not what it says. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, joy, long-suffering, faith, goodness, meekness. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Your fruit and my fruit is getting other people saved. Notice this, look at verse number 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. As you read your Bible, it cleans your mind. It makes you cleaner. You say, I don't get anything out of the Bible when I read it. It doesn't matter. It washes you when you read it. You're made cleaner through the word of God. Jesus taught us that. Notice this, look at verse 4. Abide or dwell in me with your mind, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. What a verse. So as Jesus teaches this on soul winning, then you go over to the verses that we started reading. Look at verse 14. Jesus says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. What a wonderful thing to think about. According, my obedience shows Jesus that I love him. And you only love Jesus as much as you obey him. But Jesus said, to the degree you obey me is the degree you experience my friendship. Soul winning, I would say, is probably, it never gets easy. You can get experience in soul winning, but I've learned in 33 years of soul winning, every time I go, I still have to die to the flesh. You think, well, this time when I go, it'll be that. I don't know when it's ever been natural to go soul winning. I always have to die to the flesh. I've always got my flesh in the way. But Jesus said, to the degree you're willing to sacrifice yourself and make yourself do what I've commanded you to do is the degree you experience my friendship. Now, here we go. Look at verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I've called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. And then verse 16 is what I want to draw your attention to. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. God says, I know we talk about it, and this morning I kind of hit it in the sermon. We say we found the Lord, but really the Lord found us. The Lord spoke to our hearts, convicted our hearts of our sin, and we trusted Him as our Savior. Jesus is telling everybody here, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I was working on you before you got saved. God draws all men to Christ. Jesus said, if I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So God doesn't say, I draw him, but not him, or I won't draw them. No, God draws all men. God says, I was working in your life before you got saved. But when I chose you, when you placed your faith in me, I was choosing you not just to get saved and go to heaven. Notice what it says. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Now, the word ordained mean? It means placed with power. When we ordain a preacher, we're saying we agree that God has placed this man in the ministry and we're asking God to empower him. That's an ordained preacher, and we do that through the church. But preachers aren't the only ones that are ordained. Jesus said, I've chosen you and ordained you, and positioned you with power to do one thing. Let's read it. It says here that ye should go and bring forth fruit. That tells me this, every Christian is called of God to be a soul winner. Do you ever ask, watch this. If I use verse number seven, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. In the whole context of John chapter 15, if you mark verse 7 and think with me just for a second, do you ever ask the Lord to help you bear fruit? Because that's verse 7, right? Verse 7 is right in the middle of a fruit-bearing chapter where Jesus is teaching you, I am the vine, ye are the branches, here's how you bear fruit. One of the things I'd like you thinking tonight, one thing that helped me, a man that taught me soul winning, he said, you ought to be praying about your soul winning every day. That's what verse 7 says. So child of God, Christian, if you take John 15, have you ever personally asked God to help you bear fruit? What is fruit? It's not just getting people saved. Here we go. Have you ever asked God to help you lead someone to Christ, bring them to church, help them get baptized, and teach them to go soul winning? Proverbs 11:30 says what? He that winneth souls is wise. The fruit of the righteous, our fruit is a tree. Our fruit is not a piece of fruit. It's not just getting people saved. Because remember, what did Jesus tell us to do? He told us to do three things. Get people saved, right? Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them, baptizing them, and teaching them to observe all things. The Great Commission is three things. You say, well, that's for you as a preacher. That's for us as a church. When you read John 15, you have to do one of two things. You either apply it to yourself or you say, that's for us as a church. I'm glad I go to a soul winning church. I would like you to take the pressure on you. Soul winning is a pressure that all of us are supposed to experience. We're not supposed to try to get out. Yeah, I've heard some people say this. I just get nervous when I think about people. Okay, I understand. Nobody likes the thought of somebody going to hell. Good, you're not supposed to. So then they say, that's why I give more money to missions. So they appease their conscience by not going soul winning by the money that they give to missions. And they give a lot of money to missions. To do what? Make up for their lack of soul winning. I don't find that in the Bible either. But I've heard Christians talk that way. Child of God, Jesus did not say, you go bear fruit, hope you do it before you die, see you in heaven. He said, ask me to help you. Do you ever pray about your soul winning? Have you ever asked God for a convert? How about this? I'm just giving you ways of thinking. If I apply John 15, have you ever said, Lord, before I die, please help me lead someone to you and get them to church so that when you call me to heaven, there'll be somebody left on this earth giving the gospel like I got to give to them. That's fruit. That's fruit. Christian, if you're not praying about it, could I just encourage you, if you took every day this week You'd be surprised at what it does in your heart when you say, "Dear God, help me." Okay, let's go the other way. Does it bother you that it's been a long time since you've led somebody to Christ? Okay, there's almost 7 billion people on the planet. There's more now, like times 150 than there was when Jesus was here. I think it's more than that. I think it's more like 1,500 times more people now on the earth than there was when Jesus was here. But I need to do the math. Bottom line is, we have more to pick from than Jesus did. Does it bother you that you've not led someone to Christ in a long time? Let it. It's supposed to. Then go to your Bible and say, "Lord, please help me to bear fruit." Because it's a wonderful thing as a child of God when you can go to verse 16. This is praying ground. "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you." What words? No, that applies to you individually, that ye should go and bring forth fruit. Here's your praying ground. "Dear God, you saved me to get other people saved." That's what it says, right? "Please help me." I know Christians, they've been saved 30, 40. I know Christians, I think 50 is the longest. Never. They've never led a soul to Christ. Never. They figure that's for missionaries, that's for somebody else. And I wanted to say you read your Bible through every year. What do you do when you come to John 15? Do you just like, "Well, that's not for me, it's for the church. Well, that's for the preacher." That verse, I hope you apply the Bible to your life when you read it. And you say, that's Jesus personally talking to you, saying, "I saved you to bring forth fruit." What a wonderful truth. Now, I'm going to follow that up with, everybody that is saved is called of God to be a soul winner. You could say everybody's called to preach, but not quite. But all of us have a calling on our life. When you got saved, God says, "I'm called." Okay, take your Bible and go to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. Try to show you these verses, and I'd like you to go back and look at it. But Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, the fourth book of your Bible, chapter 11. And I'm just going to show you this story here and this truth. You can see the heart of God. But watch this. Numbers chapter 11 and verse number 25. "And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him and took of the spirit that was upon him," upon Moses, "and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad and the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out in under the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp." So if you get the picture, there's Moses at the tabernacle door, there's 70 elders, and God takes of His Spirit and puts it on the 70 men, and they all start preaching and prophesying all right there. They're filled with the Spirit of God. And there's two men that are out of the tabernacle, Eldad and Medad, and God's Spirit fills them also, and they're preaching. So now that you got the picture, watch what happens. Verse 27, "And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My Lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him," I wish you'd look at this verse later and just think about it, "but enviest thou for my sake?" Notice this phrase, "Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets." That's God saying, "I wish all of my people were yielded to me and would surrender to preach." All of God's people won't. But in the Old Testament, you see the heart of God saying, "I wish all of my people were prophets." Okay? So you see that in the Old Testament. Now watch what happens when we go to the New Testament and look at how specific God words it. Go to Mark 16. Mark chapter 16. Of course, we've looked at John 15, but look at Matthew, Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15. I know it's a common verse. You see it, but it's just good for you to see in your Bible. And if you don't have it memorized, it's a good one to memorize. And he said unto them, he's told the disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's our job, right? So yes, we're chosen to bear fruit. And in the New Testament, Jesus said, you haven't chosen me, but I've chosen you. And your mission until you die is to tell every creature on the face of the earth the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's a big job. You take the death rate and birth rate into consideration. Trust me, we've got more to do than we can do before we die, right? So in the New Testament, God words it stronger. In the Old Testament, he said, I wish all my people would preach. In the New Testament, he says, every one of you is supposed to be a soul winner. You may not pastor a church, but everybody's called of God to give the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ to every creature. Now watch this. If you take Mark 16:15, isn't it wonderful to know you'll never talk to the wrong person? If you haven't talked to every creature on the face of the earth, then you'll never talk to the wrong person about the Lord Jesus. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? I like what one person said. Well, those are tattoo people. You'll never talk to the wrong person. There's a man, he walks out here on 235, and I see him staggering, and he's drunk all the time. I've witnessed to him. I don't stop him now every time I see him. Do you know why? Because I've witnessed to him. I've given him the gospel. Amen? I'm commanded to tell every creature. Now, if I see something, there's another guy, he walks, you know, over here. I just saw him today. He's special needs. He walks all over the county, okay? But his mom says he's schizophrenic and he's been here and, you know, I've told you a little bit about him. His mom said he wouldn't hurt a flea, and he wouldn't. He's just probably one of the looniest people I've ever spoken with in my life, okay? I've tried to witness to him. He'll say, every time he comes here to the church, can I get a drink? I say, yeah, you can get a drink. Then he always goes, the aliens have landed their ship right over here. They're selling G.I. Joes and they're turning into real people. I said, well, get me five of them. I don't know what to do with him except agree with him, because I can't say aliens. I mean, every time he comes here, it's literally that far-fetched. I've tried to witness to him, but there is no connect, okay? I've tried to. Now, all I'm telling you is Mark 16:15 says, every creature is your job and my job. And if you haven't witnessed to them, well, I don't want to offend somebody. If they're lost, what are you going to do? Send them to hell number two? You won't. If they're lost, they're already going to hell. Amen? They need somebody to tell them. Now, that's our job. I could go through and I could take you to Acts chapter 8. I could show you how that they were all scattered abroad. And they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. That would be men and women. So, no, I know God does not call a woman to preach, but God, when God saves a woman or a man, he saves them to go soul winning. Soul winning is not just for men. Pastoring a church is just for men, right? But for somebody to say, well, ladies aren't supposed to preach, and they're not, but they are supposed to give the gospel. They've been saved to do so, just like men have. Amen. You go soul winning with my wife. She's a wonderful soul winner. She's been soul winning. She's been saved longer than I have. She got saved at age 12. She's had some wonderful teachers. You go soul winning with my wife and listen to her present the gospel. She's very good. Probably one of the best that I've ever heard. She has my approval. Amen. We don't go soul winning very much. Do you know why? I'm taking men and she's taking the ladies of the church. But she's a good soul winner. All the ladies in the church are called of God to bear fruit and give the gospel. I can take you, okay? Let me just think with me just for a minute, because I'm headed in a direction here. In Ephesians chapter 6, we're all told to wear the armor of God, right? Ephesians chapter 6, put on the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. Every one of us is supposed to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Man or woman, that's part of the armor. And if you don't put that on, then what happens when your armor is off? Satan has an advantage over you, and you are not protected like you should be. That's men and women. How about, finally, I do like Philippians 4:3. God says here, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." God used the Apostle Paul to say, there's ladies that are my fellow laborers. They work together with me to do what? Get the gospel out. So men and women, I said that to say, I probably belabored it a little too much. The Christian life is compared to many things in the Bible. In Hebrews 12, it's a race. And we're all supposed to run this race. It's a marathon that we're in. And we're supposed to try to run to finish and not quit. We're all in a race. It's a journey. It's a walk. I find in Proverbs that the Christian life is a highway. I find that it's a match or a spar. And I also find in 2 Timothy, take your Bible and go to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's a war. The Christian life is a battle. It is a fight. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, God says this, 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." I know these are the pastoral epistles, but every child of God should read that and say, I have been chosen to win souls. I've been chosen to be a soldier. I've been chosen, look at verse 4, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." I need to be very careful what I get involved in, because I've been called of God. I love saying this to every Christian. You've been called of God to give the gospel. Be careful you don't get involved in so much stuff in the world that you can't give the gospel. Don't get entangled in the affairs of this life so that you can't reach out. Well, I'm just so busy. Why are you so busy? Why are you so busy that you can't stop a lost person or you can't give the gospel? God says, we're all, here we go, ready? We've all been chosen to be soul winners. When God saved you, He chose you to bear fruit. Now, we've got a big job, and God says, another title you have is soldier. Don't let yourself become entangled. So I remember when we would go to the field, weight in our pack was everything. My pack weighed about 60 pounds. But I remember if you could get a plastic fork instead of a metal fork, boy, that was half an ounce that was in your advantage. You know what I mean? Everything was about weight. You say, why? Because when you're on those 25-mile humps or 18-mile humps or all those, it was all about the weight you were carrying. I wanted to be careful. Yeah, I wanted to carry little as possible. You say, how come? So I didn't have to hop in a Jeep because I couldn't finish the hump. That's what we called, ground pounding, was the hump, It was all about the weight in the pack. Be careful, Christian. If you can get so bogged down and so entangled in the affairs of this life, I ain't got no time for soul winning. You don't have to go soul winning, but you have been called of God to go soul winning. You have been called of God to bear fruit. So be careful. As a soldier, everybody, we're all in a fight. We have an enemy that's trying to destroy us, and we're told to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So please make sure you don't get so entangled that you can't do what God called you to do and chose you to do. With that idea of a soldier, then think with me. The Lord tells us to fight a good fight in 1 Timothy 6:12. In Hebrews 10, we're said we have to fight the wrong crowd. Then, as a soldier, there are some qualities that qualify us for the Lord Jesus. What do you have to do to be a soldier? Number one, you need to love the Lord, and you need to be loyal. As a Marine, we swore allegiance to the Constitution. We would defend and the American people. I remember going overseas and just thinking, you see all the homosexuality and the stuff in France and the filth and the immorality and the horrible, the stuff with the drinking and all that. And I remember thinking, I'm not here to die for that. I thought of my family having Christmas and my family having Thanksgiving together and the sweet memories. I said, now I'll die for that. I'll protect that, but I'm not protecting this garbage. I didn't swear allegiance to protect this filth. What are you getting at? We had a loyalty to America. We were supposed to be loyal as a soldier. Well, you're supposed to be loyal to the Lord. You're in a fight. You're supposed to love the Lord, and you're supposed to be loyal to Him. What else do you need to be a soldier? You need it. God says He's looking for a mature heart. He wants your desire. That's what John 15's about. Wanting to bear fruit. Lord, help me bear fruit. Praying about bearing fruit. And you need to be obedient. Next, a soldier comes in two categories. We call them reserve or full-time, right? Now, in the Marine Corps, we called, you know, when you're full-time, we called the reserve weekend warriors. You know what I mean? Because they'd go once a month and blah, blah, blah. I never made fun of reserve. I was just thankful they were serving. But there was something about being full-time. It's like we never laid our uniforms down. But did you know that the reserve soldiers did the same things that the full-time soldiers did? Did you know that the reserve soldiers did, they wore everything? Their uniforms looked the same. And when we went into battle or when we would stand in formation, same uniforms, say BDUs, same if it was dress or khakis or whatever they wanted to show up in. You couldn't tell who was a reserve or who was full-time unless you asked. Christian, did you know whether you're reserve and you give to the Lord in reserve or whether you're a full-time servant of God, did you know you're supposed to look the same as a soldier? Did you know you use the same weapons? Prayer, your Bible, amen, soul winning. Did you know your job is the same whether you're a reserve soldier or a full-time soldier? Here's what I'd like to break. I'd like to break the mentality that says, you're a preacher, you're supposed to do things differently than I do. I'm a preacher. I'm supposed to lead and I'm supposed to prepare and help and administrate. But where in the Bible does the reservist soldier do anything different that the full-time soldier doesn't do? I may get to do more of it. Every time I get to prepare a sermon, every time I get to help, every time I get to work around here, I always thank the Lord. I know a lot of pastors that can't pastor full-time. I thank the Lord I'm a full-time pastor. I get to give my life to it. And I'm thankful for that. It means a lot to me. But I don't find where your level of Christianity is supposed to be different than mine. I'm supposed to help you and serve you so that you can serve. But I'm not better than you because I'm full-time and you happen to be reserve. Amen? Our weapons are the same. Our appearance is the same. Our mission is the same. Reserve or full-time? And what I think is sad is when people say, well, he's the pastor and he does this because he's a pastor. Did you know I need to read my Bible too? Did you know I need to pray too? Did you know I can get backslidden too? Did you know I can get greedy too? Did you know I have a flesh to fight too? We all do the same thing, reserve or full time. Now, watch this. Let me just read it to you. Micah 6:8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? What does God require? Three things. You do justly, and love mercy, and you walk humbly with thy God. That's why I love the lessons that we've been doing on Sunday school, walking with God, thinking about it. My job through the week, I need to walk with God. He's with me all the time. Why would I just pay attention to Him on Sunday and Wednesday and ignore Him Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? God says, I require of you to walk with me. You say, why? Because we're all soldiers. We're all soldiers. I don't find anything in the Bible that says if you're not a pastor or a preacher, you're a peon and a nobody because, or somebody's better than somebody else because they get to give more time to an issue. If anything, you take your Bible and go to Romans chapter 12. Watch this. If anything, I find the opposite. You know, the spirit that God wants us to have as a church is not, well, he's the pastor, he's supposed to do this and this, and we just watch him serve. No, look at Romans chapter 12. Look at verse number 5. Romans 12, verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. I find that every person in the church is important. I don't find that one person is. There may be people who do more because they have more of an opportunity, but I don't find in the Bible where God says somebody's more important in the church because they get to do this or they get to do this. We're one. We're not one with another church. This is talking about the local church. We are one, even though we're many members. That's why it says later on, when one of us hurts, we all hurt. It should bother you, and it should help you pray about Miss Ray and the loss of her house. There's nothing we can do, I understand that, but it should be a burden. You say, why? Because she's one of us. Amen? You should take a time and go there mentally. Well, what would it if that was me? Amen? And I'll help you. I'll tell you what, I'll help you praise God for what you got. Amen? No, we're one. We're many, but we're one. You're in Romans. Go over one book to 1 Corinthians 12. Remember the body chapter? You see, I do find in the Bible where we're not supposed to think, well, I'll show you that here in just a second. This is safe. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Notice verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. So, we've all been saved and chosen of God to bear fruit. We're all in a battle. We're all soldiers. We're all one. Some are reserved, some are full-time, but everybody's a soldier. You say, well, I'm AWOL. Okay, you can go AWOL. You can go absent without leave, too. Keep in mind, the captain of our salvation, our commander-in-chief, doesn't smile on that. He will do things to get you back into line, and he does spank his own. Amen? So we're all soldiers. Some are reserve, some are full-time. We're all one. With that in mind, the only difference between the soldiers, reserve or full-time, is the time they give to the same things. Full-time service is soul-winning from many different directions. Listen closely. If somebody says, I feel called of God to be a church secretary, that means you're a soul winner that gets to serve in a church as a church secretary. But you're not supposed to be a church secretary and not go soul winning, right? Because you were called of God first to be a soul winner. Then you surrendered your life for full-time service to be a church secretary. And praise God for church secretaries. They're important. But you're not supposed to substitute one. How about this? Think with me just for a second. If somebody says, I'm a youth director, that means you're a soul winner that serves as a youth director. You're not supposed to say, I'm the youth director, I work with the teenagers, therefore I don't go soul winning. No, I get to do it full time, but I'm supposed to go soul winning. I'll give you another. I'm a pastor, but that doesn't mean because I pastor, I don't have to go soul winning. I go soul winning because I'm a Christian, because I was called of God to go soul winning before I surrendered to the call to pastor. I think you understand now. That's true for a missionary. That's true for the call of God for a bus director. That's true for the call of God for an evangelist, a pastor's wife, a music director, a church pianist, an assistant pastor, a Christian school teacher, a Christian school administrator, a Bible and tract printer, a bus mechanic. I've watched men surrender to full-time ministry, and the church needed someone to work on all those buses. They were called of God first. They hired of the church to work on the buses. But they were called of God first to be soul winners. And when you surrender your life to full-time service, you're saying this, God, I surrender to full-time service to be a full-time soul winner in a capacity that a local church can pay me. Amen? But you're called of God to be a soul winner. Why are you saying this? The Lord becomes your inheritance when you surrender to full-time service, but yet the Lord is close to us all. There is the call of God. Take your Bible and go to Romans chapter 10. There's three entrances into full-time service. Did you know God drafts people? There are some people God calls in the ministry and God doesn't give them a choice. God says, you either preach or I'm going to kill you. You say, who's that? Did God draft the Apostle Paul? Knocked him off a horse. Struck him blind. And then the Apostle Paul looked up, Lord, what wouldst thou have me to do? He had an attitude adjustment, right? I would call that, you say, that was his calling. It was his calling, but I call that more of a draft. Amen. Report for duty. Then there is the calling. You're in Romans chapter 10. Look at verse number 9. Ready? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There's your salvation verses. Praise the Lord. Look down at verse number 13, our simple soul-winning verse. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, period. Notice verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? You know what that is? That's the call to preach. That's the call to full-time service. That's where God says, I do. I need someone to preach in this place over here. I need a voice. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except God doesn't send? Somebody said, why are you preaching on full-time service? Everybody ought to consider full-time service. Watch this. I don't think everybody's supposed to be in full-time service. But wouldn't everybody consider it? Take your Bible, go to Psalm 27. Let me show you something. Psalm 27. You see, there's the draft. Then there's the call to preach. Look at Psalm 27. You've heard me say it's probably one of my favorite psalms. Psalm chapter 27. Notice this. Verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And then, right here, verse number 2, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Verse number 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. God, would you let me serve you full time? I'm not saying I'm worthy. There's the draft. There's the call. And Psalm 27 speaks of the volunteer. When I heard a missionary preach, people are dying and going to hell. There's more people than we could ever win. I remember that missionary preached on the Goliath, the sword bearer, his shield bearer and Goliath. And he said, make sure you aim. David hit Goliath. He didn't aim at the wrong target. He said, use your life and aim at the right target. God used that sermon to touch my heart and said, I said, God, I don't want to waste my life. And I went forward and I gave my life. I said, Lord, would you let me serve? And Psalm 27, verse 4 was in my mind. One thing have I desired. I'm going to seek after that one thing. God, I'd love to serve you all the days of my life. If we don't get it from people in church, where are we going to get it? Oh, the public school? I don't think so. It's hardly being taught anymore. How come a teenager wouldn't say, God, would you ever let me serve you full time all the days of my life? There's the draft. There's the call. How can they preach except they be sent? That's when God touches your heart and says, do you see the need? And then there's the volunteer. There's reserve and there's full time. Everybody's important. Nobody's not important. But it does. Okay, let's end this with Exodus 21. Go to the second book of your Bible. Go to Exodus 21. Look at verse number 2. Exodus chapter 21 and verse 2. That's supposed to be our love for each other, is because we get to serve together. I realize, as a pastor, I realize this, and I've been in many churches. I know there's people who will come to our church, and they will never lead a soul to Christ. They're not here for that. I know our job is making disciples. It's leading people to Christ. But if we're doing what we're supposed to do, everybody's invited to our church, right? Amen? Everybody's invited at our church. So that means we'll have people that come to church that are so weak and so burdened, We need to lift them up while they're here. We need to help them. Okay? We have a capacity for that. But I also realize the majority of the people in our church, we're to serve together. We're to stay focused on getting people saved and making disciples. That's what us being many are one. And then we're to love each other. You say, why? Because we're all exhausting ourselves for the same thing. Amen? Now, the volunteer, there's the draft. There's the call of God to preach. And then there is the volunteer. To illustrate that, look at Exodus 21. Watch this. If thou buy, verse number 2, if thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. I'll just stop here. God regulates slavery in the Bible. God never condones it. The Bible is nothing like the Quran. The Quran endorses slavery. God said if you do buy another person, you only can keep them for 6 years. And then you're supposed to help them when they leave. And if, okay, so watch this. Here we go. Look at verse number 3. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. Verse number 5, watch this. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife and my children, I will not go out free. Here's the person's saying, everything I have is because of you. I don't want to leave you. I don't want to leave your service. I love my master because everything I have is because of him. I want to stay. Then look at the next verse. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. When I read that verse, that's why we say pierced ears show ownership. It has through history. That's why a man isn't supposed to have pierced ears. It's okay for a lady to, because she what? She belongs to her husband. Amen? Yeah, I'm not talking, don't think slave now, okay? Cave woman, okay, don't think that. But the Bible has taught when they came out of Egypt, they took their earrings, melted them down, and made the golden calf, right? So earrings and a pierced ear has always been the sign of ownership. Follow me. No, a man is not supposed to get his ear pierced because he belongs to God. But spiritually, we spiritualize the Old Testament, right? God says, if you love me and you don't want to go out free. The word redeemed means purchased, received, and set free. That's what Jesus did when he saved you. He bought you. Then he received you. And he didn't say, now you have to serve me. He said, you can go free. That's redemption. That's the three-step redemption. When you say as a child of God, everything I have is because of the Lord. And God touches your heart out of love. I don't want to go free. God, would you spiritually pierce my ear? And you give your life for full-time service. And you see the spiritualizing of it? I belong to the Lord. I'm giving myself back full-time for the one who bought me. Every Christian ought to consider that. Especially when a teenager is considering, what am I going to do with my life? Have you ever considered serving God? Well, no, that's for others. I have learned in church work, people's attitudes toward giving their life for full-time service is looked down upon a lot. Dr. Lee Robertson used to say, at the start of every year of Bible college, welcome to the easiest place to quit. If you stop Bible college, you can go home. And your family will say, glad you're done playing around. Now you can get on with life and get a real job. Because the average person's perception of full-time service is kind of twisted. Okay? Tonight, I wanted to show one, our unity. Amen? Everybody in here has a call on your life. There are things God's chosen you to do. You're a soldier. Reserve or full-time. But I wanted you to understand there's also a call of God to say, would you like to serve me all the days of your life? That's the call to full-time service, right? Let's pray. Father, Lord, I know the charge is for soul winning. And Lord, all of us, we learned this morning in Sunday school, you have a will for our life. And before